We are in the sixth chapter. We're drawing towards a close. So far, we've learned in, many things in the fourth, fifth, and sixth chapters, and we're learning what God has for us and how we're to live. He's kind of laid that out for us to give us a good idea. We just recently looked at God's design for marriage, husband and wife. We looked at God's design for children and also for parents. Now, tonight, Paul takes another look, and this would be an awful easy one for you just to slip through it. It'd be awful easy if you're doing a annual Bible reading and you come to this particular point. It'd be very easy to miss these few verses and not necessarily apply them to your life. I want to tell you tonight, I'll give you a little testimony about this. What's relevant in these few verses, verses 5 through 9, changed my life. Wasn't always a full-time pastor. I was in the business world for many, many years, and I was in the Coast Guard first, and then I was in owned my own business for a while, and then I decided I want somebody else to worry about, you know, taxes and things like that, so I joined a corporation, and I will tell you that once I learned the what I consider the truth in this passage, there were all sorts of things that were all of a sudden opened up to me. And I want to kind of share those with you tonight. So this would be kind of a teaching sharing, because I want you to know that you can go and pay a lot of money at a weekend conference where people will tell you how to make money. And they will tell you everything from flipping houses, which is this newest thing that everybody's kind of getting involved with, to savings, to stocks and bonds, and on it goes. There's always these get-rich schemes. But I want to tell you, in my impression, the most important thing that I have seen is to follow the biblical principle and let God handle it. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit tonight. We're in the Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 5 through 9, and I'm going to let you sit. Because I really want to get into it. He starts out and he uses the term servants. Now, every different translations will use different words here. Some of your translations may say bondservant, some may either say slave, depending on what translation you have, but he starts out here, servants. Now, it's interesting because he just finished up with husbands and wives, and then he ended up in this particular place, and so he's just encapsulating this whole thing together. So he said servants. Now, it's an important thing for you and I to realize today that about 60% of the known world at the time of this writing were slaves. Rome was large and a huge, formidable, oppressive nation. And when they went to different nations and they conquered them, they were turned into slaves. But it was also a very difficult time because there were many people who had much money and everybody else. And many times people would find themselves having to indenture themselves in order to pay the bills and or they were indenturing their children, making their children become slaves. So when he's mentioning this statement here, servants or slaves, bondservants, whatever your definition might be there in your translation, I think the key is simply this. This is something we do not understand. We don't live in a world of slavery anymore in the United States. We do not have that. We don't have people who are indentured to somebody else and they're not getting out of that until their bills are being paid, until their debt is paid. We don't have that. And so it can be awful easy for us just to move beyond this and say, okay, this doesn't pertain to me today. However, I hope tonight I'll be able to show you that I believe you are a servant. And not a servant unto God, but you are a servant on this earth. So let's just kind of go through it. He said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. And let's just stop there for a second. So he's telling them that no matter what situation they are in, they are to be obedient to their masters. So we'll say here that Weldon here, he's a master, and Gary behind him, he's fallen on hardened times, and so therefore he's going to offer himself in. We'll say that perhaps Brent over here, he was born into this. His mama was a slave. When he's born, he is a slave to whatever family held that. So he becomes a slave. Many of the folks that were, many of the folks who he's speaking to are in fact slaves, either by Rome or by what other method there may be. This was a different world than what we see today. We can get up, and today it's kind of interesting, and I don't know if you're like perhaps Linda and I, but our number one decision after church is, where do we eat? And so then starts the dialogue, you know. Well, I don't know. What do you want? Well, I don't know. We had Mexican yesterday, so let's don't do Mexican. You know, I don't know. We go. So pretty soon you find out there's no place that you can go eat that day because you both have decided there's no place to eat. And so anyhow, you start all over again. I mean, Linda and I do it all the time. Okay, so where don't you want to go? And so we start this thing. We have the freedom to do that. We have the freedom to, this morning, to decide to get up out of bed and come to church or not. We have the freedom to choose whatever job God may lay in front of us. We have the ability to become a worker in any place. We have that ability because we live in freedom. But what if you didn't have that freedom? This is who he's writing to tonight. There were many here at Ephesus that were in fact slaves. And so he now points the view not just at mom, dad, children, but now he's pointing it and said, okay, how are you slaves supposed to live? And if you really think about this, if you're a slave, you have no choice. Everything is laid out before you. However, I do want to say that there are different types of families, and some families, the highest member in that family would be a slave, and their job would be to train up the child. So they were given this huge authority and obligation in order to raise up a child. Others were put in charge of the whole household. So paying the bills and all those kind of things, going into debt, those were all part of this, if you will, this servant's job. However, there were many who treated their slaves with much indifference and much beatings and in terrible conditions. So when he's writing this, he's trying to get to everybody, and he's trying to use the simple word servants. No matter where you're in good shape, or whether you have a really horrible, 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 wicked, wicked, wicked type of master, he just made the statement. And we today, we just read past it, but if you were a slave today, and this guy is writing you a letter with much compassion and much authority, because he is an apostle, how would you respond? He says, I want you to be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So, if I in fact am a slave, and now I've found Jesus, and I happen to live under the household where my master allows me to come to these meetings or to learn about Christ, he now is telling them, okay, the big thing for you is this, you got to be obedient to your master in the flesh. Now that's a big key right there. What he's saying is, if Weldon here tells Gary that he's to do the chores today, he's supposed to go out and cut the lawn, and by the way, make sure that his livestock has moved from the southern 40 to the upper 40, and whatever it may be, then he's speaking now to Gary, and he's saying, Gary, oh, be obedient to your master in all things, in the flesh. So this is really a key, because we can be obedient in two ways. We can be obedient on the outside, and we can be disobedient on the inside. Or we can be obedient on the outside and obedient on the inside. So I would think you would agree with me. He's not talking about being outside obedience. He's talking about an inside obedience. And if he's talking about being an inside obedience, so that not only are you doing what, for example, Weldon has told Gary what to do, now all of a sudden Gary is doing it. He's doing it in obedience to him. He's not fighting against that. Inside, in his heart, he is not fighting that. He's not saying, okay, I'll do this, but I don't like you. He could be sticking his tongue out at him inside his head, you know, doing this a little bit. He could be doing that. Instead, what he's saying is, I want you to be obedient in the flesh. And he says, with fear and trembling. Now, Paul here has used fear and trembling four times in all his writings. And as he's writing this, what it really means is that you are to approach this seriously. You approach it in fear, meaning that the fear of God should be upon you. It's not like nail-biting fear. This is understanding the awesomeness of the request that's being made to you. And that request is slaves, be obedient to your masters. And trembling mean you want to do the right thing because you don't want to fall out of God's design for your life at that particular time. It's amazing to me that in society today, in churches all across the world, not only here in the United States, but in other places, they teach a false doctrine. And that false doctrine is God wants you happy all the time. I got to tell you, Paul here talking to these folks, they were slaves, and he said, I want you to be obedient unto your masters in the flesh. This is a big deal. And it's a serious deal, because he says, I want you to do it with fear and trembling. Then he says, in singleness of your heart. In other words, you're not double-tongued. You're not divided. I've been in businesses. I'm sure that there was plenty of folks in the hallways at the watering trough, you know, the drinking fountain and coffee place. I'm sure there was plenty of places where people would say, oh, that Bob, boy, you know what? You know what? Hear the latest thing that he said we're supposed to do? I mean, they just cut out this and they've just cut out that. I can hear that kind of stuff going on. And the reason I can hear that, because I used to be there. I used to be judge and jury about all the dumb decisions that were ever made. And if you're in the federal government, that is really easy. But may I say, I found it worse in the corporate environment. At least in the government, at least there's some loopholes that you can go back and you can go back and fight that at. There's some areas that you can challenge that. But boy, in the corporate world, sometimes there is no way out. So he says, I want you to be doing this. I want you to be obedient to your masters in the flesh, but I want you to do it with fear and trembling. And importantly here, I want you to do it in singleness of heart. Now, he's talking to Christians. You would think he would be lifting them up. He said, okay, all you folks now that are slaves, you are free. Go and do anything that you want to because you're free. Well, Paul is not teaching that. Instead, what he's saying is, wherever place you're in that place, be obedient. And whoever you're being obedient to, you really don't do it just in action, indeed, but you do it inside your heart as well. I mean, I say, that is one of the most difficult things to do. It's easy to say, okay, I had a friend of mine named John Chazroof. I've told you the story before. You can just laugh at the right time. But anyhow, John Chazroof was one of those guys where he didn't like me whatsoever, and he was a half rank above me. And when I say half rank, there's no such thing in the military. He was the same rank as me, except for I was under his protection. I was under his guidance. I was under his leadership. So we were both E4s, but he was the head of me. So therefore, every bad job he could find, that's the one he gave me. And one of the worst jobs out on that tarmac, if you will, out on the flight line, is they put these big metal pans underneath the reciprocating engines because the reciprocating engines just leak. And they leak this heavy, gooey oil. And so therefore, my job consistently was, hey, Bob, go clean all the drip pans. Well, first off, then you have to get a trailer. You have to go out and you have to collect them all. You take them out to the wash rack, and then you've got to lay them all out. You've got to start sudsing them down the right thing, and then you have to scrub them. And it wasn't just a rinse off. All of it had to be done, because I tell you, he would come with his hand and just do this, and yeah, too oily. Inside, I was obeying. I mean, outside, I was obeying. Inside, I had anger, and I wanted justice, and I wanted to say, does anybody see me having to do this for this guy? I mean, does anybody see how badly I'm being treated here? Inside, I did not understand the singleness of life. Paul is saying here very clearly, you, and can I use today's terms, whatever position you find yourself in, be obedient to your masters. And who might your masters be today? It would be your boss. It would be the person who's one rank above you. It would be the person that you fall under in any corporation. That's who you're supposed to be obedient to. Be obedient in the flesh, with fear and trembling, because God is saying, this is what I want you to do, so therefore we should do that. And he says the most important thing here is, I want you to do it in singleness of heart. Don't just do it in action. Don't just scrub those pans, Bob. Don't just really scrub them up good and say, zippity-doo-da, zippity-yay. And on the inside, I'm singing, Gloria, Gloria. No, we're not supposed to be doing that. No, we're supposed to be cleaning these pans as good as I possibly can because that's the command from the Lord. So I ask you today, whatever job you're doing, whatever work that you're doing right now, if you fall under somebody, I'm going to tell you that this speaks to you tonight, whether you like it or not. whether you want it to or not. We're supposed to be obedient to our masters in the flesh. Well, there's going to be a purpose, obviously. Paul didn't just throw this stuff out there. There's going to be a purpose. Well, let's go to the next verse. He said, or next part, in singleness of your heart, oh no. And then he adds these last three words, as in Christ. You see, I've always been reading that verse and leaving out those three words. I've been thinking, okay, so I can do the job on the outside. I can say, yes, sir. Or I can say, yes, I'll get that report done for you by a Friday, and Friday at 4, and it's Friday at 2. Yeah, I'll go ahead and get that done. Yeah, I'll get that done. And in the inside, I can say, yes, this will really be good for me to do that. But what he's really trying to tell us here is something really important. He said, the reason I'm telling you to do this, because I want you to be a servant unto your boss, your master, and I want you to treat him as if he's Christ. Whether you like him or her or not. Slaves, be obedient unto your masters with fear and trembling, singleness of heart, as unto Christ. So let me ask you this. Now, Christ comes out, and I'm in the Coast Guard, and I'm in E4, and he says, okay, I want you to do those pans over there. Do you think I'd be doing it standing up on the outside, and on the inside I'd be kneeling or being angry? I mean, this is Jesus Christ. This is the one who died for me. This is the one who paid the ultimate penalty so that I could have eternity. He's the one who did that. I mean, if it was Christ who said, Bob, I want you to clean out these oil pans, then I would say, yes, how many? Or I'd jump up. You say jump, I'll leap, I'll do whatever, and I'll do it with great joy in my heart because it's such a simple task that you're asking me to do compared to what you did for me. This changed my life as an employee. I took this really to heart. The first time I had really studied this, and I took it to heart, and I said, okay, God, is this a premise I can use in this world? Is this a premise I can use on myself? I'm not a slave. You know, I had all the arguments. I'm not a slave. Well, actually, I am. I'm in bondage to somebody. If somebody who's writing my check, if I don't treat them right, then they can always say, I don't need you anymore. If I don't pass, or if I don't pass the muster, or if I don't do the things I'm supposed to, yeah, they can push me out. They certainly can. So I got over that finally, and I finally said, okay, so God, what are you teaching me here? Are you teaching me that no matter what that person does, good or bad, that I'm supposed to obey him or her, and I'm supposed to do it with a great heart? I'm supposed to do it in singleness of mind? But even more importantly, I'm supposed to respond to them as if they're Christ? I argued with the Lord for about probably 2 weeks on this. I said, but you don't work for the guy that I work for. Paul, you have no idea about this guy. I said, okay, I'll put this in practice. I'll try. You know what that means, right? It means I can always come back to the way I'm doing it. I'll try that. But that's not really what he's asking here. He's not asking a trial. He's saying, do it. Be obedient. Just do it. So he says here, as unto Christ. And then he throws in this next part, which we've been kind of talking about, not with eye service. And that is, as long as you're within eyesight of the person. So I want you to go out there, and I want you to dig today, and I want you to clean out all of the weeds that are in this fine garden today. And I want you to do that. Yes, sir, I'll do that. And as soon as they're out of sight, take a break. Yeah, he's on break now. I can just kind of relax. That's eye service. Pleasing men as they see you. Well, I'm not supposed to do it so I please men. I'm supposed to do this so that I please Christ. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to try it. Then he says, I want you to do this not with eye service as men pleasers. And I think you all know some of those, right? If you've ever been to the business world, you know the men pleasers. You know the ones. They're called by different names today. But you know which ones they are. They're just doing it. They're marching up the ladder. And all they are doing is just being nice to that one particular person just so that they can get the next step up. That's a men pleaser. He says, I don't want you to do it that way. Not as men pleasers. He said, but as a servant of Christ. Okay, so he takes this whole thing of my life as a servant now, as my life as a slave, and he says, I want you to be obedient to your masters. I want you to do this with all your heart. I want you to be singleness of mind, and I want you to do it as if you're serving Christ here. I don't want you to do it just with eye service, but I want you to do it so as you understand you are truly a servant of Christ. So let's say that I work for the U.S. Mail Service. Anybody here work for a mail service? Okay, good. Okay, so I work for USPS. I don't know if you've been into one of their offices lately. I don't know. Maybe you have a favorite one that you go to, but most of the ones I have found, there is not joy anywhere in there that I have ever seen. I don't know what happens in there. I don't know if they walk into the door happy, and while they're there, they're angry or mad, and then they walk out the door, they get in their car, go home, and I don't know what they do. But I've just seen this so much. And so I kind of put this to that. I walked into the door of the post office. I was picking up some stuff, and I was looking around and thinking, you're not a man pleaser. You're not a man pleaser. You're not a man pleaser. And I was really judging. I was going through and saying, okay, they're not doing what Paul said. Well, once again, I was in the error. That wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. If I was doing it as a servant of Christ, and Jesus Christ died for me, he suffered agony on the cross, can't I live for him? Shouldn't I live for him? Then he says, doing the will of God from the heart. I was brought into a brand new company, and just sold my business, and I was looking for a job, and I was brought into a new company, and these two men that I'd worked with before, they came in and said, we're starting a new company, we want you to run the operations side of it. And I said, yeah, that'd be great, and I'm looking for something that would be really fun to do. And anyhow, it was a brand new type of call center business, and all the agents worked from home. Nobody worked in a call center, no brick and mortar call center, but they worked from home. And so I thought this would really be great. So anyhow, I'm happy. I'm being asked a lot of my opinion. We're directing things, and there's a board meeting. They come and they have a board meeting in our little company. And about 3 weeks later, this guy comes in. He's kind of introduced around, and the guy walks out the door. Not too long later, the guy shows up, and he's introduced as my new boss. And I'm thinking, what's his title? Well, he's chief of operations. And I said, that's what you told me my job was going to be. They said, well, the board met, and they looked at qualifications, and you don't have a master's in business, and so therefore they felt it was best that we go in this direction. And I said, but you promised me the job. And they said, you know, we're really sorry, but that's what the board has decided, and so anyhow, I went back to my seat. I was happy. I was giggly. I was tickled to death. No. I went back to my desk, and if I could have had a little doll, I'd be sticking pins in it. I was that angry. Now, I'm a Christian, but I was that angry. And so therefore, you know, I came home, I told Linda all about it, and she says, well, honey, that's not very fair, you know. She's just right there with me. I'm so stubborn. And Linda's just, oh, it'll be okay. Well, it wasn't okay. Day after day, I got up, and I was mad before I ever ate my Post Toasties. I was mad before I walked out the door. I was mad before I got into the business. I was mad if he would walk into the room. I was mad. I didn't want to hear anything he had to say. And it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, can we get back to Paul's words to the Ephesians? And I said, no, you don't know what's happened to me. I was promised this great gig. And now they brought in somebody else. It's not right. I mean, that was promised to me. I was planning on that. I was planning on all of a sudden getting to a point where I could really take care of my wife and my children. I was looking for that. God, you just don't understand. So anyhow, this went on for about 3 months, and I finally decided I couldn't take it anymore, so I got another job and left there. And I will say to this day, I regret my actions and my reactions on that particular event because my Christianity did not show. Instead of being a happy guy that was just enjoying life. Now all of a sudden I became a moody, angry person. And I felt inside that I was justified to feel that way. Well, that was my sinful self that was feeling that way. And I think here, Paul's writing to these slaves, and he's kind of telling them, I know some of you got some bad, you got some bad situations out there. You don't have freedom. But he says, I want you to be obedient. This is what I want you to do. And I want you to be obedient as unto Christ, as if that person you're serving, that guy who just was moved into that position, serve him as if he's Christ. My whole attitude and the way I served him have been totally different. And then he says here, to God from the heart. Okay, well, that hit it. I was doing things on the outside, but on the inside I was mad and angry. And so I asked the Lord, I said, you know, this is unfair. Obviously, you know it's unfair, and you know, I want you to do something about that. And so the next morning, my daily Bible reading was in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And I read that, and I just pushed it down and closed it, and I said, okay, but this doesn't pertain to me today because I've been wronged. I've been deeply wronged. Well, I got into the new job, and anyhow, we moved to Wisconsin, and as we ran in Wisconsin, I now had another really bad boss. I mean, just really bad. I jumped from the fire into the oven. I jumped into the fat. It was really, really terrible, and it was kind of like the Holy Spirit's teaching me, and he says, okay, I want you to do this. You cannot be a good Christian witness if you don't treat your boss as if they're Christ, as if this is God's plan for your life. And I said, you ever had arguments with God? I don't know. Maybe you don't, but I kind of had an argument with God. I said, but God, I moved all the way up here. I thought it was your will and design, and now I'm sitting here in this place, and this person's treating me badly again. You know, why? That's how I felt, and that's how I was acting. Then the Holy Spirit finally got through. And I said, okay, if in fact I'm supposed to do this, then I'm going to start putting that person's name here. So just for fun, I'm going to use Weldon's name. No, Weldon's a nice guy, but I'm going to use his name. So he says, servants, be obedient to Weldon, because he's your master, according to the flesh. And I want you to do that with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. I want you to treat Weldon as if he's Christ sitting there. And every task that Weldon gives me, that's what Christ would have me to do, and I'm supposed to respond as a Christian with joy. I mean, after all, isn't that how we're supposed to be as Christians? And I want you to do it in such a way that other people then will view you and they'll see your Christ-like stance. They'll see your joy. Even that they will know that maybe some things aren't so good, but they will know. I went on and said, okay, so I'm going to treat it in that way. It says, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service. Now, I'm not going to do this, so at the times that Weldon is telling me what to do, I'm going to do good, and then when Weldon's not around, I'm just going to be with the guys. No. And he says also here, I want you to do it from the heart. So I said, okay, Lord, I've fought this now, two different bosses, obviously. The problem is not with the bosses. The problem is with me. So I remember getting down on my knees, and I just said, Lord, I'm tired of fighting this. I'm going to try your model. I'm going to work on this model right here. So the next morning gets up, and I got to tell you, Weldon's a mean guy. So I get up the next day, and I got to face Weldon again, and I'm just dreading this. And anyhow, I fall on my knees, and I start praying to the Lord, and I'm getting ready. And no matter how much prayer you can have, you're still anticipating. You don't quite know how Weldon's going to respond that day. You don't know as soon as you walk through the door, if the devil's just kept him up all night. I mean, you have no idea what's going to go on here. So I walk in, and here's Weldon, and I walk into his office, and I say, you know, first thing I got to tell you is I want to apologize. I've been a bad employee. I haven't given you your due, and I want to tell you from this point forward, I hope that you will forgive me, and you'll see a new employee. And so the person just kind of looked at me aghast. And because, by the way, I was in charge of 1,800 people. So this was a big deal for me to do this. So as I said those words to him, Weldon all of a sudden looked at me, and for the next week, Weldon tried me everywhere I went. And I just kept saying, thank you, Lord. I'm really enjoying this. I'm going to do exactly as you ask. I'm going to treat him as Christ. So Christ says, okay, I want you and three of your members to put this report together. I needed it yesterday. Please have it out by 5 o'clock. I'm going to say, okay, that's Christ telling me that. Weldon has no part here now. This is Christ telling me that. So I'm going to treat Christ. How am I going to do that report? I'm going to do it with all the drive and gusto I possibly can. So I got it together in quicker time than I normally would. The team was much more responsive. We gave them the report, and it was accurate. It was accurate. He was be able to present that then to the senior vice president. Everything was good. And it changed my business life. I realized I'm not just left here just to spread the gospel to the people with my mouth, but I'm also left here to spread the gospel with my actions at work. And how can I do that if I'm discouraged and down? How can I do that if I'm angry at my boss? How can I do that? Well, you can't. But if I treat my boss as if he's Christ, and Christ is giving me this information, then guess what? I'm going to do it to the very best of my potential. He goes on to say this, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. Well, he repeats it again. He says, the work that you're doing is not to men. You are actually doing it unto the Lord. Okay, I get you, God. I understand. Thanks. You're beating me over the head with this. Okay, I understand. I'm doing this, and I'm going to continue doing that. And it's kind of like he said, but you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're still doing it for self-gain. Stop that. No matter what the situation is, it's not about you. It's about you serving Christ and people seeing the response that you have to Weldon. And I said, okay, Lord, these are hard lessons. These are difficult lessons for me to learn. Then he goes on to verse 8, says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. If I'm treating my boss as if he's Christ, and I'm doing the work as if this is what God has ordained me to do, if I'm doing those kind of things, then guess what? I really am now in the will of God. And as I'm in the will of God, he can speak to me better. My understanding of scriptures opens up. The Holy Spirit can speak to me because now I'm not angry and mad anymore. I am really excited and willing to do the work that Weldon has for me every day. Every day, I'm happy to do that. And if a new kind of policy comes out, and that policy comes out, I'm not challenging it anymore. I'm going to him, and I may have saying, hey, I don't quite understand this policy. How's this going to affect the men who are working on, for example, overnight? How's it going to affect them? Hadn't thought about that. Okay, so do you want me to take that? I'd be glad to work that through for you. I mean, all of a sudden, I wasn't a man pleaser anymore. I wasn't a Weldon pleaser. Now I was working as if he was Christ. And I will tell you this. From that change in my attitude towards Weldon, I had people come up to me and want to know what happened. And I says, well, Christ happened. He said, well, I know you're a Christian. I said, yeah, but I wasn't acting very Christ-like in my business life. Instead, I was acting very Bob-like. So anyhow, that's the changes I made. And I will tell you from that point forward, I consistently had that position with every one of the bosses I had, and I will tell you, God blessed me and blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. You cannot outperform what God asks you to do without him being taken notice and responding in kind. Cannot. So he goes on to say this, knowing that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. He said, hey, don't put yourself in the condition that you're a servant and can't get anything and that I won't bless you. I can only bless those that are free. He says, I don't want that to be in your head at all. What I want you to understand is this principle applies to both slaves and those who are free to make their own minds. It works for both. Okay, I'm getting it, God, and I'm starting to understand this. I'm starting to really get this because I'm starting to apply these principles in my personal life towards my boss and towards my company. I now am not thinking about, okay, you know, it's good enough for government work. I'm not thinking that way anymore. I'm thinking about, okay, is this good enough for Christ's work? Is the job I'm finishing, is the job I'm completing, would it please Christ? Am I putting forth the effort in order for that to happen? My whole business life changed. Verse number 9. He says, okay, now I've got your attention. There must have also been masters within the congregation. Because now he turns his attention not to the servants, because now they're all reading the same thing. You can almost imagine some of the masters going, yeah, I'm going to get really productive slaves out of this. This is really going to be good. You can almost imagine that. So he says, okay, let's talk to you masters for just a second. And he says, masters, do the same things unto them. Wait. What'd you say, Lord? Do the same things unto them. You want me to serve them as if they're Christ? You want me to treat them as if they are, in fact, your divine will for me? Is that what you're really asking me to do? Well, that's exactly what he's asking them to do. As an employer, you have great responsibilities. As an employer, you have all sorts of issues that come up on a daily basis. And as an employer, he's saying here, I want you to do exactly the same to those who serve you. Well, that's not how it works. I master, you slave. I business owner, you employ. Whatever your situation might be, he's saying, okay, masters, now I want to talk to you. And masters, this is what I want. I want you to do exactly the same thing. He says, forbearing threatening. He says, you're not going to get very far if you just threaten them all the time. You got to treat them as human beings. You got to treat them the right way. Okay, that's all well and good. Thank you very much for that. He says, knowing that your master also is in heaven. So you masters, understand that if you call yourself a Christian, your master is in heaven. God is in heaven. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the throne, and they are in heaven. That is who your master is, masters. And then he says, neither is there any respect of persons with him. He doesn't care whether you're a slave or a master. That's not what he cares for. What he cares for is that you're doing his will. So, this introduction here, if you will, is very short, and yet it's so impactful. I would challenge you, if you are a slave today, if you are an employee, if you have somebody that you report up to, I would challenge you this week. Take up 5 through 9, or 5 through 8. Take up that cause this week. Read it again before you start out your work tomorrow. Whether you ride in a mail truck or you're delivering meat or whatever it might be, whatever your job is, take 5 through 8 and apply it in your life this week. Treat that boss that you have with great respect. Treat them as if they're Christ and see if your attitude doesn't change. See if that doesn't happen. Now, I'm not saying that we're fleecing the Lord here because this is what we're supposed to do. Let's just do this anyway. And I find it also interesting here that as I'm looking at this and understanding verse 9 as compared to 5 through 8, I'm understanding here he's putting everybody in the same category. So there is no difference as far as God is concerned. Every person in here, no matter what your position is in the world today, your position really is one thing: do the will of God. And we know that we're supposed to obey the commandments of Christ. And Christ told us to go ye therefore into all nations. How in the world can I be a testimony for Christ if I'm angry and mad about worldly situations? And I think that's exactly what Paul was trying to show here. Hey, slaves, I know your situation. I know the conditions that you're in. But here's what I want to tell you. This is not for anybody else but you. You do this, and God will bless you. But if you continue to do it your own way, you then are not going to receive the blessings of God. Whatever blessings you get or whatever cursings you get, that's because of you. You're the one who's setting that up. Masters, I want you to understand that I hold you to the same account. I hold you to the same restrictions. I hold you to the same requirements. Be kind to people out there. Show them love. Show them mercy. Show them grace. Be the kind of boss that everybody wants to be. Be that person. And if you will, don't be it because of the world, but be it because you are a royal ambassador of Jesus Christ. And that is a business model that absolutely works. Well, how do I know that? Because it's worked in my life. How else do I know that? Because it's in the written word of God. This is what we're supposed to do. Heavenly Father, I come for you tonight, and I know this may be very difficult for some folks. I remember how much I struggled with this. But I also remember that Paul's writing this, and he's writing it to slaves. They have no freedoms. Very little. Some were treated fairly, and some were not. He's writing to masters. Some were treating their slaves freely and greatly, and others were not. And he's writing to all of them, and he's telling them the important thing, and that is how we're supposed to act in our lives here on this earth so that others could see us. They could see really you working within us. Father, I'm thankful for the writings of Paul. I am thankful, Lord, that we have this example that we can use and take and use it in this world, apply it to ourselves. Father, I pray that you'll do that this week. I challenge the folks in here to, if you have an employer, to just use this week. Challenge them. Holy Spirit, prompt their hearts and minds. And Father, I know that some are being treated, they're just being mistreated. I know. I was there. I pray, Father, that the heart change that will happen to them will be a great example to those that are watching. Father, I ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.